We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
This week's episode of Enough About Me is brought to you by Milton's, the store for men. If you're planning a trip down the aisle like I am, Dana Katz and his team at Milton's will outfit all the guys in a great suit or tux. Choose from top designer styles in the latest colors and price ranges. And with Milton's buy one, get one free suit sale, it makes much more sense to buy than rent. To make an appointment with one of their experts, call or email wedding@miltons.com. At Milton's, you'll be as comfortable in our stores as you'll be in our clothes. South Shore Plaza, Braintree, and Chestnut Hill Square, Chestnut Hill, Milton's, the store for men.
Now we're back. It's Enough About Me podcast. My guest for this is Dale Arnold. Took Dale a while to get here. Turned me down many times, but finally agreed to come in. I knew we'd have a good time. We did. I always get along with Dale, even though we do disagree once in a while. I like him. I know he likes me. He loves me, actually, says in this podcast. We go through everything, our history together. We're essentially two different hosts. We look at things, I think, almost 180 degrees opposite, and we have different philosophies. He's had a good long career, and I've had a short one that probably will end a lot sooner than his did, so he'll probably win this one. We talk about Eddie. We talk about Numi. We talk about our differences. We talk about his show. We talk about our show, The Station Today. Mutt, and I will say we taped this before Mutt's arrest was made public, so when Dale rips the shit out of Mutt, understand he did not know at the time that Mutt was going through what he's going through. We kind of go through it all. It's two parts, a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I think you guys will too. A lot of good inside radio gossip. Took Dale a couple minutes to open up, but once he did, he got going. It's part one of the Enough About Me podcast with Dale Arnold. So last podcast I had was with Jason Wolf, our old boss, your old producer, right?
He was the first producer I had at EEI when we opened the doors.
Right. So the first show I ever did in a day part, a weekday day part, was the Dale and Holly show. I filled in for Michael Holly with Dale Arnold. You might remember the date. It was in February of 2011. I don't know if that month does anything for you at all.
I sort of recall some of it, yeah.
So we did the show, and I maybe we had met once before. I don't even remember. We did the show. It was fine. I don't remember much about the show. I do remember this actually happened. We walked back into the old, you know, midday office. I took a left and went in there just to grab my stuff, and Wolfie came out to talk to you. And it happens once in a while. Well, I went back home, and then I think I saw in the middle of the day on Twitter that you were out of a job. When I talked to Glenn about it, about his situation, he wasn't like knocked over in shock. Were you completely stunned?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Jason came in and said, can we go over to the stockyard and talk for a little bit?
That's not good, right?
And I'm thinking, what the hell is that all
about? Is that unusual?
It had never happened. So, yeah, it was fairly unusual. Right. So he asked me to go to the stockyard. We went to this table in the back, and he didn't sugarcoat much. He said, look, we're going to make some changes, and one of the changes is you're out. And now at the time, Middays was the only show on this station that was beating the competition across the street.
Right.
So, I was... We're number one. We're beating the other guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I understood what they were doing. They felt that they had to prop up Glenn's ratings a bit, so they thought they had to change things up a little. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, okay, you're going to stick Michael with Glenn. I understand that. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know that I necessarily would want to break up Dale and Holly, but I get it. But then what he said was, we need to get younger, and that's why we're making this move.
Right.
I stood up. I said, I need a minute. I went in the bathroom. I didn't throw up.
Okay, it's a little dramatic.
Yeah, I didn't throw up.
Right.
But I needed to just kind of compose myself a little bit.
Yeah.
Went back and sat down.
Is there part of you at this point where you're thinking, why the fuck did you take me to lunch? Like, why don't you just bring me in the office and tell me so I can go home?
Yeah, I mean, part of that.
No, or?
I'm wondering, did you do this so that you were afraid I'd make a scene?
Oh, it's like the Jerry Maguire thing.
Yeah, what am I going to do in the middle of this restaurant? Oh. Am I going to start tipping over tables? And,
right.
You know, throwing plates around the place or something.
Yeah, okay.
He said, do you have any questions? I said, what do you want me to ask?
Right.
And I said, no, I think I'm going to go. and he said, oh, I want to come to your house and talk to you tomorrow.
Really?
And yeah. And I...
Why?
Well, he showed up at my house the next day. He said, you know, don't go on the air tomorrow. Oh, yeah, okay. And he showed up at my house, and he just wanted to... He said he wanted to make sure I was okay. I said, you know, what you've basically said is that a guy in his mid-50s
right.
no longer has a job. And, you know, now I'm thinking about where am I going to go? What am I going to do?
Are you thinking at that point, I have no idea because we've never talked about this. Are you thinking, well, you just fired me because of my age. This is now a legal issue?
Oh, no, I didn't think of the legal issue thing.
No.
But he made it pretty clear that they fired me because of my age. He said, right. We need to get younger.
Yeah.
So they put Mutt and Lou in the mid-days.
I never know what that means either, by the way. I've never understood. I mean, I understand it's like, it's, it seems
it's,
to be PD
it's
bullshit.
Rhetoric. It's stuff they say. It's like HR tells them to say something. You got to give them a reason.
Well, do you believe, I had Wolfie on, and Jason said if we're up to him, he would have brought you, I don't know if you heard it or not, would have brought you in.
I had no desire to listen to what Jason Wolf had to say.
Well, I think this might answer my question.
Then or now or any other time in my life.
Okay. But he brought, he said he, what he wanted to do was, bring you in and say, hey, listen, we're going to cut your pay. He didn't want to fire you. That's his side of the story. This is pressure.
Bullshit.
That's bullshit. So
of
you think it's a Wolf
it
decision?
This was Jason Wolf and Julie Kahn.
Okay, because I was going to say, you know, I've been now doing this long enough to know the program director is not going to fire somebody on their own.
Now, this was Jason Wolf and Julie Kahn. Now, money ended up being a big part of it.
Right.
You know, they ended up paying Mutt a lot less than they were paying
sure.
me.
If they had said to you, if Wolf had brought you into to the stockyard and said, listen, you're making X, you're now making 60% of X. Is a guy with a family.
I would have had to take it.
You got to sit
because,
there and take it, right?
Because as it turned out, in the interest of trying to keep my family afloat and keep
right.
things going, I ended up working here for $36,000 a year.
That first year?
No. The first year they had to pay off my contract.
Oh, okay.
And then beyond that, to do vacation fill-ins and weekends.
So you're getting paid $36,000 to work with me?
Yeah.
That's rough.
That part was worth it. The rest of it sucked.
I don't know about that.
But,
Jesus Christ.
But that's, you know, thankfully Nesson saved my ass. But
right.
But that's what I ended up having to do.
So this happens. My take on it was, at the time, I didn't know you very well. I was friends and remained good friends with Mutt, as you know. So the transition happens. I got to admit, Mutt Maloney's show did not. I was not excited about the prospect of that from the start. It seemed a doomed failure. I would concede that. And I've been critical, and you know that. We've talked about it. Do you feel bad at all knowing Muddy's a good guy? Do you feel like you were too tough on him?
I was a total dick to Mutt.
Right.
And I have since told him that,
yeah,
by
I mean,
the
there's
way.
Nothing...
I was a total dick to him. I was completely wrong, but I was mad.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Know,
so you channeled your anger.
I lashed out.
You channeled your anger somewhere that you...
Right.
It was there.
They offered this guy from New Hampshire a job, and if I was in his position, I'd have done the exact same thing he did.
Sure.
You know, I felt, well, the only reason that he's there is because he'll work for a lot less than me. And,
well,
you know, my family's now going through crap.
Sure,
And so I was mad at him totally unfairly, totally wrong. He didn't deserve any of that stuff.
No, some of it. But without.
Well, that part he did.
But was it tough for you to do that 1 year for $36,000 and just, you know, say, I have to do this? I mean, you worked.
Tough.
You worked the Dennis.
Tough doesn't even begin to cut. To
you
cover.
Worked the Dennis and Callahan show the day of the first Mutt Maloney show.
Yeah.
Now that seems a mistake on everybody's part, don't you think? I mean, you could not have wanted to be there for that.
Nope. But
I know Lou didn't want it.
Now, when they first fired me, they still had to pay me, and so
right.
they were paying me.
They were going to make you work for it.
And you know, I was doing Dave O'Brien fill-ins for
Red Sox. Yeah.
I was doing weekends. I was doing vacation fill-ins. And I was making good money for that.
Sure.
It was when that year was up that things kind of went in the crapper.
So what happened then? They just kind of said you're going to...
Well, it's a longer story and probably more boring than you care for.
That's
but
right.
A few months after they fired me, Jeff Brown called me,
right.
who I'd never met in my life, didn't know him.
Yeah.
He's the guy who replaced Julie Kahn.
Yes.
And Jeff Brown called me and he said, I'd like to talk to you. I said, sure, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't want to do it at the radio station. He said, can you meet me in the suite at Fenway Park? I guess he didn't want people to see us
okay.
talking. I went to Fenway Park, still had my media pass because I was doing the games.
Right.
Went into the park, went up to the suite, and he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And almost the first words out of his mouth were, "We've made a mistake here."
Right.
I said, "Okay." He said, and this is where I always go into my obligatory Jeff Brown imitation. "I want to know if you would put the uniform back on."
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I said, "Jeff, I didn't take the uniform off.
Right.
You guys took the uniform off me." And he said, "But would you consider coming back?" And I said, "Yes, of course. I would like to come back. That'd be great."
Mm-hmm.
"Okay, I gotta work a few things out. You know, it'll take me a little time, but that's the plan."
Okay.
I go home and tell my wife and kids, "Good news, kids, we don't have to move.
Right.
We don't have to sell the house. You know, this is going to work out."
Yeah.
The longer he dragged it out, I probably should have been smarter to realize
he was tough to trust.
He was dicking me around pretty bad.
But what's the purpose of that?
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. So finally, as we were getting close to my contract expiring and, you know, the legitimate money expiring,
right,
I kept calling him and he wouldn't return my calls. Yes. And I sort of had an idea. Mm-hmm. Finally, right after the Super Bowl, he called me back and he said, you know, "We've talked about this for a while now. You know, what's going on? My contract is up here in a couple of weeks." Mm-hmm. "Yeah, I think we're going to stay with what we've got."
Okay.
So I hang up the phone. I turn to my wife and say, "We got to sell the house."
Right.
I can't afford to stay here anymore.
So you did that, right?
Sold the house, moved, wiped out pretty much everything I had for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, because I had a kid in college and I was trying to take care of her. And I had another kid, you know, trying to finish up high school. And, I mean, what Jason and Julie did was business. What Jeff Brown did was cruel.
Well, I mean, listen, as you know, there's legion of stories like that. I met with him a couple of times. I met with him at Fenway one time, and I never really it was almost like...
Oh, he took you to the suite, too?
Yeah, no, we went to the... Where's the place that you eat in Fenway? You know, the club in there, whatever it was.
Yeah.
With Wolfie, and it was one of those things where I think he woke up on random days and said, "I feel like doing this." And then he talked to you about it. Same thing happened to me, and it never happened. And you're thinking, well, what are we doing here? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, and my wife, I'll give her credit. She said to me, you know, 2 weeks after I met with him at Fenway, "He's not doing this.
Bullshit,
you know, he's screwing with you."
Right.
And I remember I said to her, "What would he get out of that?
Right.
You know, why would he do that?"
Yeah.
And I couldn't come up with an answer for it. And as it turns out, he didn't need one.
Right.
Because he wanted to and because he could.
So you were sort of in the I'm going to get to that in a second. I had Michael on the podcast, as you know, the day of the inauguration, as a matter of fact. We were on during two terms. We started in the Obama term and ended in the Trump term.
Was he the same guy in both terms? Did his mood change?
Yeah, he got very upset. You know, Jerry and I are, you know, we have a good relationship. We're really good friends. I don't know what your relationship is with Michael. I know it's pretty good. I mean, I think you guys are friends. I know that if I found out that Jerry knew I was going to get fired before I got fired, you know me, the way I am, it's probably irrational. There's no question. I don't think I'd be able to speak to the guy for a while. I think I'd be pissed off. It's probably not right.
Oh, no, I was pissed off for a while. I mean, as you said, the day they fired me, Michael wasn't on that day.
No, he was not.
That was not a coincidence.
I'm sure it was.
You know, that was pretty well planned on everybody's part.
Right.
I was pissed.
So when you get fired like that, when do you call your partner? How soon? So you get fired at whatever, you walk out of there.
Yeah, I called him within a day or two. I mean, I had to calm down.
Did you think, so you knew that he knew?
No, I felt that he knew.
I felt that
he had to know.
Did Wolfie told you that he was going with Glenn?
He didn't tell me that right away.
But you saw, you were smart enough.
I could kind of figure out, you know, what they were going to do.
I mean.
And I got to tell you, truthfully, Kirk, if I was in Wolfie's place and I saw the afternoon drive ratings and I said, you know, how can I bolster what I've got there? I've got Glenn, who's been here a long time, does a great job, but I need to bolster this. What do I do? You know what? I'm going to stick Michael in there. I might have done that.
Maybe.
I wouldn't have done to midday is what they did.
Right.
That's where I think they screwed this thing up.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. But so, like, now when you think about it, I mean, obviously you're back with Michael again. We'll get to that whole backstory, how that happened. But there was no part of you for a while that harbored these feelings?
Of course I was pissed.
Because I know you. I mean, you weren't like, you never, did you ever have that conversation with Holly where you're like, what the fuck? Why didn't you, could tell me, I'm your friend, why didn't you tell me?
I asked him why he didn't tell me. And I think Michael was upset knowing that, you know, there was going to be a pretty big impact on my family. And, you know,
but isn't that a reason to tell you?
Well, I mean, it's not like he could change it. It's not like they weren't going to fire me if he told me.
Well, would you have told him?
You know, you'd like to say that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you're in those shoes.
Would you want to look in Jerry's eyes and say, hey, Jerry, they're getting rid of you?
No, I would not.
And it's easy to, that's why, you know, after a while and I started thinking about
do you think Holly,
would I have done that?
But I'll tell you what I would have done. And I don't know if Michael did this or not. I don't know if I asked him. I would have fought for you.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know the answer to that.
You know,
I don't know if he did.
I would have said, well, wait a minute. You're getting rid of, okay, fine. I'm going to go work with Glenn to make some more money. You're going from middays to afternoons. Totally understandable.
Sure.
Great. Let's do it. Fantastic. But why are you getting, you're getting rid of this guy? My friend, my partner, this guy who's helped me get in this position is getting fired. And like, I don't know. I think I'd raise some hell about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know whether he fought for me. He told me that he disagreed with it.
Well, I know
but
that.
I don't, but that's not the same as you know, did he go in there and...
Why are these conversations never on the Dale and Holly show now? Is that too much navel-gazing? Does Kirk Minahan do too much navel-gazing?
Well, you and I have talked about this. Yeah, and who am I to say? You're the one with the 15s and 16s. You obviously know what the hell you're doing.
Don't bang on that.
I don't love as much of it as you guys do, but man, how can I argue with the results?
I think you get mad at it, though. Like, I think you get mad at us when we do it.
No, I don't get mad.
I think you do a little bit.
I think I wouldn't want to do what you do.
Well, it's not like I...
You've got to be a miserable person most of the time. You have got to leave here pissing
and moaning. What kind of
relationship
do we have?
We have a great relationship. People don't believe that, by the way.
They don't believe
that. They think that that's, you know, bullshit or something.
When I say that you're my radio dad, I mean it. You're my radio dad.
We get along fine, but I just...
Well, you get mad at me sometimes. It's okay. I don't blame you.
Of course I do.
I don't blame you.
I used to work with Eddie, and Eddie was the most miserable person I've ever met in my life. Everybody was out to screw him. He was going to get them before he got them, you know, before they got him. I mean,
you're worried that you're seeing this with me.
There's a little bit of it there, you know, where you see beasties under the bed most of the time.
Well, sometimes they're under the bed.
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're stuff you make up.
Like what? Are you saying our show's fake?
No.
Like
I'm saying
what?
The beasties aren't necessarily always
well,
there.
Well, like what?
Well, yeah. Look, as I said, you're really good at it. I couldn't do it.
No, I'm like a Howard Stern knockoff. I heard you say that.
Well, yeah, you are.
That hurt my feelings.
You are.
I know.
I mean, let's not lie about
well,
it.
Well, I wouldn't. I'd
it,
say,
you know
I'd
what?
Say
the act did pretty well for him, too.
It's a little more nuanced than that, Dale. It's a little more nuanced.
Nuanced?
You have to read between
when
the lines.
When you're screaming, get out of the hallway! Yes. I don't want to see you!
That's
pretty nuanced
there's a second
when you
layer
do
to that.
Oh, is there?
Guys like you just don't see. It's okay. Yes.
If I were only more intelligent,
that's
I could
true.
Come up with that
exactly.
other nuanced
exactly.
level.
But my point is, so you don't think that if you and Holly, let's get Keith out of the, like, a couple days ago, it was just the two of you, right?
Yeah, Monday.
Right, Monday.
Monday.
Good show. Liked it. If you guys had a 20-minute conversation where you talked about that for real on the air, you think that'd be good radio?
I think it's a little too much about me. I didn't want to do this.
But it's
because this was a little too much about
that's why
me.
Why you turned it down so many times.
Stop lying.
See, we can edit this.
And you probably will. Or you'll tweet out, finally after 8 tries of asking.
Correct.
This was the
but
first time I've been
you
asked.
You really don't get mad when I do stuff like that.
No, but I also know, you and I know.
You love me.
I do. This was the one time I got asked. And I know. I said to Ben, I said, you know what? I really have nothing to gain here.
Well, that's not true.
Oh, no, I'm going to lose. I'll do fine sitting in here with you.
Let me set the Curtis and Ken timer.
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do fine in here with you. You know, we'll have a conversation. We'll disagree. We'll go back and forth. We're adults. We can do that.
Right.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults. Well, they are sycophants.
Well, Curtis is...
They are... Now, stop with the alcoholism thing. He's still a sycophant.
His brain has been soaked
He's
with alcohol.
He's still a sycophant.
I'll tell you, the stop with the alcoholism thing, you just got the cut for Ken and Chris.
I know.
You did your
job. And so we'll get it over with.
Right.
They try so hard to keep Kirk happy and don't have Kirk go off like a rocket.
I don't feel
so
that way.
I'm going to pull this audio. Hey, Kirk, do you hear what Dale said? Here, well, I'm going to pull this.
I know completely well that
both of them will try to make me look like an ass.
When you and I did,
and that's fine.
When you and I did, now we're jumping all over the place. I have like 50 things I want to ask you. When you and I did shows together in 2012, whatever it was, did you ever think that we'd be sitting here and I'd be running a show in the morning with Jerry and doing all these things? Or did you think?
I didn't know which path.
Okay, oh, sorry.
I apologize. I interrupted.
No, you didn't. I actually interrupted you. Let me apologize, please.
Yeah.
You were the first person who ever said to me, ever, that I should be on the radio every day. You're the first person who ever said it to me. Wolf said it was never going to happen, and nobody ever brought it up. You were actually the first one. I remember this during a break, one of the shows we did. You said you could do this every day, no problem.
I didn't think that you would take the persona to where you took it, but I knew you should be on the radio every day.
Yeah.
I knew you had interesting things to say. People wanted to hear you. You were fearless.
Yeah, we had fun.
And there was no doubt in my mind you should be on the radio every day. Did I think that you were going to, you know, become the primary host of the number one rated show in Boston? No.
Shame on you.
Well, I didn't
really
see that.
And I apologize for that.
Hold on, bang on that. I didn't see that coming, but to your credit, you guys did.
We had a good year, though. We had a good time. It was, you know,
you and I got along fine.
It's worth the 36,
we still do.
Worth the 36 grand.
People don't believe that, but yeah, we actually do.
So navel gazing is not the Dale Arnold playbook.
I hate talking about me.
But why? People are interested in you.
No.
You're a host of Europe. You've been doing this for forever. You've been doing this since I was 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years old. You
your
bastard.
Your 50th year
you.
In broadcasting.
Yeah.
You say that, but you know, you look at the numbers, you look at the ratings, you look at the clicks on certain things. I know you're a really smart guy. You know that's not true, that people don't care about it. That's not true. If you and Holly had that discussion, people would care about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're right. We've never discussed it, and you know, we just don't do a lot of you know, internal clocks type stuff. But maybe you're right.
That'll never happen.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Well, I'm saying, it's just not the way. Is that the way the show? The way the show is run right now, is this a Dale Arnold run show? Is it a Michael Hawley run show? The producers more involved? Who's sort of
the 30 for 30 Mike and the Mad Dog episode?
Yeah,
I'm in the power chair. But that only means that I run the...
Yeah, I think that doesn't... That was a big part of the podcast. Yeah, I didn't get. I was like,
all that means is that I'm the guy getting in and out
of
breaks.
Yeah.
And I'm hitting the callers. Right. Only because I'm better at it. I mean, that's not a knock. It's just, you know, it's a little complicated.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I just, mechanically,
yeah,
I'm better at it.
I mean, you're no Jerry Callahan when it comes
to
phones.
No,
right.
No.
That's
Oh, Lord, the technology going loose in that brain.
That's what happens. But I'm saying who's... It's obviously no show is 50-50 or 33-33-33. Sort of who sets the tone.
We try to make it
close
to that.
But it's not.
When we talk every morning at 11:30.
Wow. Jeez, Chad Finch is right about that. You guys work all day? That's unbelievable.
We don't do email chains.
Oh.
We like have a phone call. We have a conference call. You know,
did you guys talk about that story, though?
No. Cause
what the fuck? I mean, why not? I know you didn't like that story.
Of course not.
So why not rip that story?
I got no. There's no way I can win. It'll make me feel better about me.
But I do it.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better.
I understand. And not much makes you feel better.
But you're smart. But you are a smart guy who knows you would have legitimate criticisms with that piece of journalism.
Yeah.
Why not outline those?
I think that until we get where we want to be, I sort of want to lie in the weeds a little bit. You know, what I know and what they won't tell you is that, and you know this because you know the numbers too, we're closer than we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still the 50,000-pound gorilla.
Right.
Until we knock off the 50,000-pound gorilla, I don't want to talk about it too much.
Isn't the opposite supposed to be true, though? Isn't it?
Yeah, second place is supposed to bark at them.
Then,
yeah, I've heard that. I mean, I've heard both ways.
That's why I don't look down at the competition anymore. I just kind of escape my lane. That's
you don't have
yeah,
to.
I'm as classy as
oh, yeah.
can be now.
Yeah, you're the guy who never takes shots at anybody
no
anymore.
Laughs,
no,
nothing.
I understand.
Those days are over.
You and Fred had this whole thing going on all weekend long on
Did that
Twitter.
Not seem like a legitimately good idea to you, though?
The charity podcast?
Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
50-50.
I'd listen to it. I don't know where the... How do you monetize that?
We go do it somewhere at some bar or something. You charge people $20 a head or whatever. If you make
$1,000 doing a show in a bar is necessarily a great idea, but you could do it.
Who knows? It might be more fun for me.
Maybe.
Anyway, so let's go... Before we go forward, let's go back.
Okay.
You mentioned him real quickly. Do you ever talk to Eddie Engelman?
I saw him about... 2 years ago,
yeah.
And I hadn't seen him in a long time. I was at Milton's. I was picking up my tux that they had tailored for my son's wedding.
Yeah.
And Susan and I went to Milton's to pick up the stuff. And Susan said to me, she said, I think that's Eddie Andelman over there. And I looked, and Eddie was there with Judy. Mm-hmm. And I went over and stuck out my hand and said hello and gave Judy a kiss on the cheek and You know, we talked for a few minutes, nothing, you know, dramatic or anything.
Fine.
It's probably the first time we'd spoken in 5 or 6 years. And, I mean, I don't even have his cell phone number.
Really?
I truly don't.
Is it as bad? So Jerry would tell this. Jerry tells me the stories all the time. You know, I love this stuff. You guys would literally not talk at all.
It was bad.
The whole time?
At the end, at the end of it, I went into Jason. My contract was up. His contract was up within a month or so. And I went into Jason and I said, look, this is not a negotiating ploy on my part. If you want Eddie to stay here, I understand completely, but I got to find another way to make a living. I can't do this anymore.
Sounds familiar.
6 years I spent doing that show.
So well, how many of those years were brutal?
5.5.
That first half was not bad? Or
oh, no, that was the worst. He
oh,
was
he got
so
moved.
Pissed.
Right, right, right.
He was so mad.
But, but it was like almost like with you and Mutt in a way. He wasn't actually pissed at you.
Oh, no, he hated the idea.
He was pissed at Glenn, right?
Well, yeah, of course he was.
That's what I mean.
But he hated the idea that, that he was in there with a co-host.
Right.
He hated
So it wouldn't have mattered who it was, is what I'm saying.
My job was to challenge him.
Right.
You know, when he would say something that was wrong,
right.
My job was to say, well, that's wrong. That's not right. And he would get really mad at that.
A great, would you say he's a great radio personality, though, at his best?
In this town, yeah. Oh, huge.
Yeah. I thought so growing up.
Oh, God, yeah. Him and Eddie and
Mark and Jim.
And Mark and Jim, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, they were great together.
Did you know what you were getting into when it started?
I knew it was going to be tough. I didn't know how it was going to be. The problem was they stuck us because he had a year left in his deal.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck us together. The numbers went through the roof.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he's getting a new 5-year deal, and I'm getting a new 5-year
right.
deal.
Yeah, you're stuck.
And so now we're 6 years into it. And I would drive to work every morning, clenching the steering wheel. And I would drive home every day with my gut in a knot.
Right.
And I finally just, as I said, I went to Jason and I said, I can't make a living like this anymore.
It's brutal. I mean, was it during breaks you just wouldn't talk?
Almost never.
Right.
Before the show, after the show, breaks.
Nothing.
I mean, almost never. Probably the low point for me ever, it was right after the Super Bowl, the Patriots lost to the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think Desmond Howard should be the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I said so.
Right.
And Eddie on the air said that I said that because he was black.
Did he really?
Yeah. And Rene Marchando, who was running our board at the time,
sure.
Lovely guy,
right.
Who's also black,
black guy,
by the
right?
way.
Yeah.
And I looked at Rene and I gave him the cut sign.
Yeah.
And he turned the mics off and I took my headphones off and I fired him off the wall beside Eddie's head. And I went over nose to nose, face to face, and I said, if you ever call me a racist on the radio again, I'm going to kill you.
What did he say?
Oh, that's not what I meant. I didn't imply that. And so we didn't say another word.
Yeah.
And then the break ended, and he basically tried to walk it all back.
Right.
But that was one of the truly low points when he called me a racist on the radio.
Well, he says, Ben Kitchens, the producer of this show. There's something squeaking over there. Can we? I don't know what that is.
It might be me.
Is it you, Dan?
Not that I know of, but.
Can you be a goddamn professional for 5 minutes?
I can talk into the mic,
Jesus,
unlike Jason Wolf. So.
Jesus. Jesus. God.
Sorry.
I'm surprised you're so critical of Wolf being he's a white guy. That's weird.
I know.
Given your history.
I know. I got to find a black guy to take off after.
So Eddie goes to 1510.
Yep.
You're happy.
Where he was going to raise the bar.
Right. Yeah. Well, he wasn't really, right?
Well, yeah, Sean McDonough right, and the rest right. of them were going to raise the bar.
And then Noomi comes in.
Yeah, loved Noomi.
And I worked with Noomi at Comcast for a few years.
I love Noomi.
Great guy. And the way you describe Eddie, you said he's the most miserable person you've ever met. That's just like a 180.
Noomi's the opposite.
He's
so it was like such a relief for me
right.
to go from, you know, that kind of show that I'd been doing. And now I'm going with Noomi and he's fun.
Was the show with Noomi good, though? Was it as good as the show with Eddie, or was it better? Or was it? I know it's different.
It was totally different. The numbers were about the same.
Right,
so,
but I mean, did it feel?
We didn't have any competition at that point, so maybe right. it was just we were going to get the numbers no matter what.
And then Noomi's the one guy who just like said, "Screw it!" Right?
He made a hard negotiating line in the sand.
Yeah.
He thought that he was worth a certain amount of money. They didn't think so, and he just said, "I'm out." And I remember the last show we did together. We're in a break, one of the last breaks, and he's kind of, he's not sobbing, but he's real emotional.
Really?
And he says, I made a mistake. I think I might have made a mistake.
Yeah.
And I said, so don't go. Don't go. I mean, you know, there's nothing that says you have to leave.
Right.
They haven't hired anybody.
Right.
Just don't go. And he waited for a minute. He's, no, I said I was going to go. I got to go. And he left. He's got some principles, man.
This is around one of those Super Bowls, too, because he told me the story. I don't know which one.
Yeah, it was
Jacksonville
around
or something like that. Yep. And he went in and Julie told me some whole – jeez, I wish I remembered it. But but when you talk to him, he's one of those guys. Like he found another job.
For him, you know, and the circumstances he was in, it was a little easier. You know, I had a wife
no
and kids.
Yeah,
and, and you know, yeah. it was a little harder, for, as no. much as I might have liked to take
he probably
that
had
hard
some dough
stand.
Saved up.
And you know, he's one of the top handicappers in the country. He could probably, and I think probably does, make a pretty good living just off that.
Yes. Obviously, that was a bullshit search for Numi. Like, it was going to be Numi all along.
Yes. Right. Oh, yeah. Right. No. Numi was the...
Was there one of those with Holly? I don't remember.
Holly was ended up being the second choice.
Jackie was the first choice.
We offered Jackie McMullen the job. She took it. She accepted it.
Yeah.
And was going to come in and be the co-host. And then she got cold feet. You know, right just before we were going to announce it, and she said, you know I said I was going to do it, but, you know, the commitment, and, you know, I got to be away from my house. Because she's a great mom, you know.
Right, it's hard. Yeah.
Cares about her kids, and, you know, I got to be away from home in the middle of the day. She had kids who were athletes. She wanted to see them
school,
play.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard, yeah.
And so at the very last minute, she said, you know I said I would do it, but I just can't. And she pulled out. And,
right.
And that's when Michael.
Who, if Holly... It walked on, you know, got hit by a bus. Who would it have been then? Do you know?
God, I have no idea.
Yeah. Did you know right
by
away?
By the way, the Tanguay story he told about.
Which one?
Exactly.
The Brady Bledsoe thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not true?
It's total bullshit.
Whoa.
You're shocked to hear this. I know.
No, I know.
You're shocked to hear this.
You hate Tanguay.
I don't like him very much.
Oh, he's a good guy.
Really?
Well,
Based on what?
He's a friend of mine. I don't know. Don't you have some friends who are shitheads?
I'm sitting with one. That's what
There you go.
Point taken.
Tee it up. And,
You know, I never went to Jason Wolf and said, I can't work with this guy anymore. And by the way, I didn't go storming out of the studio and slam the door because of a hot sports take?
That does seem, I will grant you, that seems unusual.
I mean, have I stormed out and slammed the door at any other time? I mean, come on.
I'm trying to remember we worked together. There was that time I said you didn't like Rondo because he was black.
And that would be the one, yeah.
You fired them in my head. No, I don't remember that. But was Tanguay in around that time? Is that why you said that?
Well, he said that. I don't even...
Oh, okay. But there was. But did you know right away with Holly that it was going to work or no?
I hoped. I mean, you know, he's making a move to a medium that he'd never worked in before.
Right.
So, you know, I knew he was a smart guy. Yeah. You know, I knew he was, you know, hip and happening and all that stuff. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but he's black also.
I don't look at skin color.
So, yeah, I know. Apparently I do. I had hopes it was going to work. Yeah. And it didn't take long for him to get this medium, you know, pretty quickly. And he's been great at it.
Yeah, so you guys are together for, what, 5 years? No, not that long.
I don't know, something like that.
Something like that. So now we sort of go full circle here. So you're gone. You're sort of in the wilderness for a couple of years.
Was
it that long?
Uh-huh.
3 years. I become a star while you're on the bench.
You sure did.
No coincidence.
No.
Finally got you away from me.
I stopped holding down the man.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Salk thing ends as we take a pause to thank God for that. And this sort of weird search begins where they didn't know what the fuck they were doing at that point. Remember, they would have like Lou come on for a couple of hours, like after the midday show, he'd come on. It was this weird sort of thing. Then all of a sudden, you kind of started popping in with Holly more and more. And then it just sort of like they kind of said, okay, I guess we have a show here. We're done, right?
Phil called me in. I'd never met him. Didn't know him.
Yeah,
he called me in. He wanted to meet here, by the way. He didn't want to go to Fenway. He didn't want to go to the Stockyard. I came in and sat in his office with him. And he kind of asked if I had any interest in going back on full time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what he meant. You know, where was he talking about? What was he talking about? And,
right.
He asked, you know, about going on with Michael. And I said, you know, I'd be interested. I feel like the position I was in, he sort of had me at a bit of a disadvantage. You know, I'd been hurting financially for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
And, you know, he signed me to sort of a prove me kind of deal.
Right.
Which
this is 14?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been back here for 3 years now.
Yeah. The contract's up December 31st.
Jeez. There you go. So it's you. Is it just you and Holly at the start? Or was Jerry already there?
No. It's just.
With just a rotating third guy or no?
No, we didn't really have a third guy. They decided they wanted to add a third guy.
Do you buy into this? Because I don't know if I do. Does it matter if you're on at 11 o'clock in the morning or 3 in the afternoon? Does the show have to be different?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't. I've heard that. Your show, what you're doing in the morning.
But would it be successful in the midday, though, if it's a good show? I mean, does it matter? Is somebody thinking it's 11:12
yeah,
right now?
I don't know if it would have the same dynamic.
But why do you say that? Like,
I think there's something about, you know, that first news of the day type of thing, which you guys play off of really well. You know, I think there's something to be said for that.
What did you – you and I had an awkward phone conversation right around then. What happened? There was something in the Globe or something? That they had offered me the afternoon show. Remember, we had a weird talk. And it didn't happen. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was about or anything. Oh, I don't know.
Do you know or not know?
I don't know. No, I truly don't.
Oh, okay. Are you?
No, this is the safe space. I'm supposed to say whatever the truth is here, right?
Well, you can say whatever you want.
Oh, I would. If I could remember, I would. I remember you
being pissed at me about something, and we talked on the phone, and I was like, "Oh, that's not good." But I was never offered the afternoon show ever. I did have a meeting about it before you were full time. Before they even brought you back with Ordway, because I think they thought Holly might leave. But this was before this mm-hmm. this is like the first year I was on the morning show because I already wanted away from John at that point. But it was never offered. I don't know. Anyway, are you enjoying this sort of second act?
Yeah, a lot. I mean,
do you appreciate it more because you didn't think it was going to happen?
Oh, I thought I was hooped. Yeah, in some ways, financially, I am, but you know, I survived. It was hard initially because there were a couple of people in particular I remember who celebrated when I got fired.
Who? Let's hear some.
One was John Wallach on the air.
See, now I've
with
heard
Tutcher and Rich.
I've heard several people.
He celebrated that
really?
I got fired.
Because I know, the Mutt, ironically, told me that he had worked with him one time and said he was a giant asshole.
He had an issue. You know, he was doing sports on our show,
right?
From Metro. He's at the Prue Center doing sports
updates. Yeah,
and we tried to kind of involve him, and we John, what, you know, how you doing? We
that
would talk
thing, yeah.
That whole thing. And one time he asked Jason Wolfe if he could go with us on a Patriots Monday to Gillette and do the sports down there.
Right.
And Jason asked us, and we said, sure, fine.
Who cares?
That's fine. So we go down to Gillette on a Patriots Monday. And we're getting ready. Vince Wilfork walks in, mm-hmm. regular weekly guest. Vince walks in to do the interview. And John starts asking him questions like he's the third host.
Oh, jeez. Right.
And I'm looking at Michael and you know, John's asking questions. And the interview ends. And quite often, you probably have done this too, you kind of walk your guest out. And,
right.
I walked Vince out into that control room down there at Gillette, and he says, "Who the bleep was that?"
Right.
And I said, "Yeah, it's a sports guy." And so when we went back to the station, Michael and I told Jason, you know, he's not the third
it's
host.
Kind of awkward.
And,
yeah. Right.
And I think that's what he got pissed off at me about. He was celebrating when I got fired on Tutcher and Rich. He was so happy.
Right.
The other was Dave Portnoy, who wrote it on Barstool. He was celebrating when I got fired. He did another piece when I signed the deal after my contract was up, and I signed the deal to keep doing stuff here and doing fill-ins and, you know, have some pride, man.
Right.
You know, how can you look yourself in the mirror? But he was pissed off at me because of the Brady Kidd thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He posted the pictures of Brady's 2-year-old
right.
naked pictures. And, okay, you know, it's not the 2-year-old pictures as much as you're making fun of a 2-year-old's package.
Well, in fairness, he was being complimentary of the package.
He thought it should have been better, considering he was Brady's kid.
I thought he was a howitzer.
Anyway, I said on the air,
right.
Come on.
Yeah.
And he got pissed at me about that, has never forgiven me. Ironically, not long after that, he went on Stern.
Stern didn't like it.
Stern killed him.
I listened to it, yeah.
He thought Stern was going to give him the attaboy,
right.
And Stern just killed him.
Yeah, I mean, I like Dave, and he's been on our show a lot. That's the I've said to him, I said, obviously, it's the old, you have the right to do it. Me, I'm not, having a kid, a couple of kids, I would not be posting penis pictures of kids. I never understood it. Didn't think it was funny, just never got it.
Well, he had the opportunity when I got fired to unload both barrels, and he did.
Well, that's not so bad, though, John Wallach and Dave Portnoy. I mean, did a lot of people from the station reach out or no?
Yeah, people at the station were nice.
Yeah.
The very first weekend show I did, filling in, I was working with Steve DiAsi.
Yeah.
And we're in here on a Saturday or something. And you know what that text machine is like.
I don't turn it on.
The text machine, tough guys. And I was getting a lot of, I'm so glad you got fired.
Right.
You know, you're getting a lot of those. And I'm a big boy. I can handle that. And one of the texts that showed up says, you know your daughter that's at UMass? I bleeped her. By the way, everybody here bleeps her.
Jesus, yeah, yeah.
So I showed Diassi.
Right.
And I love Steve Diassi because, yeah. You know, the texters don't know that your phone number is right there.
Right.
Diassi's taking the phone number down. He's going to call and rip this guy a new one.
Right.
But people...
Well, you can't... I mean, you know, that's different. But you can't... You have shitheads on Twitter or new text. And you,
yeah.
I mean, I listen to
your show. It's a unique dynamic, isn't
it? But I think you get too worried about the text once in a while. Fuck them. Who cares? I don't even put it on. What's the point?
I try to use them just as you
to
know,
keep the show
pieces.
Stuff?
Yeah. You know, hey, this guy's got an idea. What about this? Right. That sort of thing. I probably have been guilty in the past of looking at it too much. I've cut way back. I don't use them as much because, frankly, most of them aren't that funny anyway.
All right. Thanks again for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm really not thankful at all. You should be thanking me. You get this shit every week, these great podcasts, totally free. Do me a favor. Would you go to iTunes, download it, go to Stitcher, do the same, and leave a rating, leave a review. That's where you can help me out. This podcast is going to be number one again. I guarantee it. And you're going to help me along with the process. So for that, I guess at the end, maybe I will thank you. There's a lot of thank yous going back and forth. Here's the point. Fuck you.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.